Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. This is Truth in God's Word Radio, coming to you from North Central West Virginia. Stay tuned while we expound on God's Word. Jesus said, "Continue in my word, then you will be my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Now, here's your host, Pastor Jim Newsom.
Yes, good morning. This is Pastor Jim Newsom. It's Monday, February 22nd, 2016. It's 7:30 a.m. Broadcasting you from North Central, West Virginia. I'm going to go to the book of Romans today. We'll talk about the power of God, which is in the gospel. The gospel is the power of God. Paul wrote this particular book, Romans. We'll be going to chapter 1, skipping back and forth between a few scriptures. But I'll read to you what Paul said in Romans 1, 16 through 18. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation." Read that again. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. And it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." Paul said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." The gospel, who many interpret as being the good news. And I'll go as far to say today, it's the only thing that really matters. The Bible declares we live in a temporal world heading for an eternal world. Now, I'm not talking about having our head in the sky all the time and being super spiritual. We have to occupy until he comes. But Paul, after his conversion on the road to Damascus, where, by the way, Paul lost his pride on the road to Damascus. Yes, he lost his eyesight, and the power of God restored it back to him. But when he was knocked off that horse on the road to Damascus, he lost his pride. And the gospel will never penetrate our lives or do us any good as long as we have a spirit of pride, because pride blocks the power of God in our lives. I'm not going to speak concerning a whole lot about pride today, but just before I come on the air, I believe the Lord kind of dropped in my spirit that the one thing that hinders the gospel from having full power in our lives is the spirit of pride, which comes before a fall, the Word of God says. Would you rather be humble before the Lord now or be humble before him later? Because the Word of God says that every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. The Bible says to humble yourself before God. And in due time, you shall be exalted. Paul said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel." There again, the only way he saw the gospel was on, or had a revelation of the gospel, was on the road to Damascus when he fell from his horse, when the bright light of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ shined upon him and he became blinded. The Word of God declares that Bartimaeus was sent to him to anoint his eyes and tell him what he must suffer for the cause of Christ. So I'm not ashamed of this gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believed, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. The gospel is the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Paul said, in Romans 1, verses 1, Paul, a servant, which is interpreted bondservant, one who chooses to serve the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, one who has been set free and willingly, through free agency, come back to serve Jesus, the bondservant. I've spoke many times about the ritual of the bondservant, where they put the ear to a piece of wood and drive an awl and put a ring in the ear, indicating that we belong to somebody for life, for eternity. Paul said, I'm a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated, listen now, unto the gospel. Separate. It was called on the mission trip. The word of God says, separate you, Paul and Barnabas, to the gospel. If you read anything about the Apostle Paul, he was separated after his conversion now. And I keep on pointing out this point. There must be a conversion in our lives. There must be a point where we come to the end of ourselves, where we no longer can do and work in our own agenda, our own ways, because our ways are not God's ways. Separated into the gospel, which he promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Promised by the prophets. The prophets pointing to the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 1:10 says, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched with diligence, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. The prophecies of the Old Testament, yes, they were for end times. Of course, Daniel, especially Isaiah, talked a lot. Zechariah talked a lot about the end times, the Battle of Armageddon, the end times, the thousand-year reign of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But for the most part, the prophets prophesied of one, Jesus Christ, the gospel. Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Peter said in 1 Peter 1:10, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched with diligence, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto me and you. 2 Timothy 1:8 says, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. That's a loaded scripture right there. We could probably talk another hour just on that scripture. But be thou a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. There's nobody looking to be afflicted. But if you believe this gospel, the Bible says, in this world you shall have tribulation. But Jesus said, be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. 2 Timothy 1:12, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. There again, the full surrender, the coming to the end of ourselves. This has to be, if you've prayed, God, let me come to the end of myself, then you are in for a shaking. Because I don't think we realize how much self rules our lives. And what a process it is to come to the end of ourselves, by which Paul said will never end. He said, I haven't attained yet. I haven't got there. Nevertheless, leaving those things that are behind, I press towards the high mark of the high calling. My. Help us today, Lord. Help us today. Leaving those things that are behind, I call it all but lost. And that has mainly to do with us. And coming to the end of ourselves, not being ashamed of this gospel. The gospel unto salvation. It is the power of God unto salvation. How can man be saved? By believing the gospel. The gospel is the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. No name under heaven by which a man can be born again or saved or helped or delivered except through the name of Jesus Christ. We're going to preach him and preach him crucified to the best of our ability. The gospel. What the world needs now is not another political leader, not another man standing up behind a podium spewing humanism and spewing all this other utopia stuff that man is going to find a way somehow to work this out and bring this planet back to restoration when Acts speaks that Jesus Christ it will be the restitution of all things. Not ashamed of the gospel. After his encounter, on the road to Damascus, we all need our roads to Damascus. We all need our Gethsemanes. We all need that place to where somehow this stubborn will that we carry around on the inside of us, yes, all of us have this, that part of us, my Lord, that we're not willing to give completely over. Lord, I've got to hang on to something. I've got to have something in my life that I can hang on to. No. The Bible says to give unto yourself as a living sacrifice. That means every part of your being does not belong to you. I am not my own, but I am the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In him I live, I walk, I talk, and I have my being. This is what Paul said. And this did not happen until after his pride came down. And I had no intention of talking about pride this morning, but apparently we need that, that we need to know that our pride is keeping us from maybe the deliverance that God wants to give in our lives, especially Christian leaders and preachers. Hardest thing there is for a man or woman that preaches the gospel sometimes to humble ourselves, because after all, we've been used of God. We're great. No, there's none good. None good. None good. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's why the Bible says we must come as little children. They don't come with an agenda. They don't come with a resume of how great they are. Listen, lay your ordination cards off to the side and humble yourself before an almighty God that you might be that which God would have you to be. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, and it is written, the just must live by faith. Romans 3:21 says, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Romans 9:20. What shall we say then, that the Gentiles which fall not after righteousness have attained your righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith, Philippians 3:9, and be found in him, not having mine own or our own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. The righteousness which is of God by faith. Romans 1:18 says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. In other words, they've been revealed the truth, they've been given the truth, but they disregarded the truth. They have shaken their fists in the face of God. They're saying, we're not giving up our own selves, we're not giving up our sin. We're going to walk in what we want to walk in. We're going to be our own little gods. But the Bible says those that walk in such a realm, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. Go to the book of 1 Corinthians 2. Paul speaking again of the gospel. For he says, I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with an excellent speech, nor of my wisdom, but declaring unto you the testimony of God. The testimony of God is Jesus Christ. Listen to me this morning. He is the only way. And I'll go to my grave believing that he is the only way. That I am persuaded that that which I commit unto him, that he is able to keep against that day. That day when chaos becomes greater than even now, when things right now are speeding up, when we are heading towards Armageddon, the apocalypse. We are in the last days. These are the days that we don't have time to go buy oil. We must keep oil within our lives. We don't have time not to keep our wicks trimmed, so to speak. We must keep oil in us, which is the Holy Spirit. We must not be, as the Word of God says, taken about with the silly and laden things that doesn't mean anything. And this is hard in a world where there's so much that draws on us. We talked about that yesterday on the other broadcast on Christian Bible Radio, that when the Word of God wants to take root, the cares of this life will choke it out. So listen to me. There's days you've got to force feed the Word of God. Well, I believe it just flows. Yes, it does sometimes, but there's a resistance. We don't like to admit this because, after all, like I said, we're super Christians. We don't ever struggle in the area of our prayer life or reading the Word of God. We're just Clark Kent. But we're not. We're flesh and we're blood. And we're human and we fight battles. That's why Paul said there's days you have to press. There's days that you have to become rigid against the powers of darkness. There's days you have to submit yourself to God and resist the devil. There's days you're not going to feel your chill bump or your goosebump. There's days you're going to walk by faith. And see, we're not warned of this in the modern day church. We live in the feel good church. We live in the right now. So we live in the give me my goosebump. Give me my money. Give me my blessing. Don't talk to me about tribulation. Don't talk to me about end times. Don't talk to me about what's coming on the face of the earth. I don't want to hear that. Well, tough. And it's coming with pressure and chaos and uncertainty like we have never seen before. The spiritual battle, if you are a Christian, has been escalated. Your faith is going to be tried in the days to come. Peter said, think it not strange of the fiery trials which come upon you. All those who are in Christ Jesus shall suffer tribulation, but be of good cheer. Jesus said, for I have overcome the world. Fiery darts of the enemy coming against us. And we're going to have to learn, David said, I thank you that you've taught my fingers to war. I'm not sure who said that exactly. I think it was David, maybe. But you've taught my fingers to war. You've taught me spiritual warfare. You've taught me to put my faith totally in you when I don't feel anything. That I draw on a power that I can't see. That I call those things that are not as though they were. That I have hope, and the hope is an anchor of my soul. But see, hope is things that you don't look at, that you can't see, that you can't get a hold of. They're not tangible. So they don't come to you in an excellent speech. It's about coming to you in the power of an almighty God. Paul said in Colossians 4:6, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Paul said, I'm determined. You see this word here, determined? not to know anything among you except nothing else but Jesus Christ and him crucified. I'm going to read that again. For I am determined not to know anything among you except or save Jesus Christ and him crucified. The foundation of the gospel. The life, the death, the burial, and the resurrection, and the second coming. The same Jesus that you see today ascending will descend in like manner. Although this time, he's going to take over this planet. Thank God Almighty. This world is not going to end. This earth is not going to end. This age is, but according to the word of God, Jesus Christ will revamp this world, but he's going to do it through fire, through wrath, and through judgment. The Bible says it's a horrible, terrible thing to be in the hands of an angry God. Now, who is God mad at? Who is his anger kindled against? Is it the Christian that is like the publican who stood in the temple across from the Pharisee, the religious one, the stiff-necked one that prayed the prayer, I thank you, I'm not like this filthy publican. Is God looking at that man with a haughty spirit? No. He's looking at that man with a publican who's beating his chest and saying, God, have mercy upon me because I am a sinner. Isaiah, the greatest messianic prophet ever, probably, I would say, said this, I am a man of unclean lips. I don't have any hope. There's no way I can even come into the presence of a thrice holy God. But what did God do in Isaiah 6? He allowed the angel of the Lord to take a coal off of the altar, a hot coal, and place it on the lips of Isaiah, which is a type of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who was baptized in fire. He took it for us. We preach him. We preach nothing else but him. 1 Corinthians 1:23, 24, but we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolish, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Galatians 6:14, but God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me. Listen, and the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. So there must be a separation from the world and the cross, from the world and the gospel. There must be a gulf for us, a separation. We're not better, but we're separated. We don't think like the world. We shouldn't. That's why I don't understand why the church has to use worldly ways to, quote, unquote, draw people, why we should go into the highways and the byways and take a poll. What kind of a church do you want us to build? Listen, the church has already been built. The Bible says, go in the highways and the byways and compel them. This compelling part is the gospel, the Spirit of God which draws mankind. Let there be conviction in the house of God again. Let the Holy Ghost move upon people. Let Jesus be the head of the church. We don't build churches. Well, we build buildings and ministries, but the head of the church is Jesus. He's the chief cornerstone. He purchased the church with his own blood. Determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Our hope today in our failures, in our weakness. Paul said this. I was with you in weakness. In 1 Corinthians 2:3, I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. This was Paul. Read the book of Romans. Read Romans 6, what he said about there's things that I don't want to do that I do it anyhow. When are we going to realize that we have no power in ourselves? That we haven't been in the church long enough, that we don't have enough seniority. And the world is seniority. I've been here 30 years. But see, the Bible says we go from glory to glory to glory to glory. We don't quit growing until we're out of here. The Spirit of God will not quit dealing with us until we're out of here. The imperfections in our life will always be pointed out by the Holy Ghost if we allow Him to do such. And He's teaching us not to lean upon our own understanding, but to lean upon the gospel, where the power of God resides in the crucifixion and the burial and the resurrection of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If you want that power today, that overcoming power that comes through the blood of Jesus Christ and Him crucified, confess with your mouth, believe with your heart that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, that He did the work the Bible lays out on the cross, that everything that He did was for a reason, for a purpose. Read Isaiah 53. By His stripes we're healed, chastised for our peace of mind. Upon Him was laid the iniquity of us all. Bruised, the Word of God says, for our iniquities. Call on His name today and trust Him. Read Romans 1, the whole chapter. Read it. Paul is laying out to the Roman church that I must come to you to preach the gospel, which is the good news. Listen to me today. That's the only hope for mankind. And the only hope for me and you today is the gospel. It's not in the government. It's not in this worldly way, that this world system we see today, with men spewing things out of their mouth, that there's no way they can keep the promises. Our faith is in Jesus Christ, the true one, the faithful one, the one that never lies, where there's no guile, Word of God says, found in His mouth. No deceit. Because He is the truth. And the knowledge of that truth will set us free. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Until next time, God bless you.
This has been Truth in God's Word Radio with Pastor Jim Newsom. Our email address is truthintheword777@gmail.com. The Word of God declares, look up. Your redemption draws nigh. Jesus is coming very soon. Until next time, may God bless each and every one of you. And the meek shall inherit.